Hi, everyone. I'm Yue Qiao from Ohio State University. First, a little bit of the advertisement. I will be on the job market by the next spring. And if I'm open to both academia and industrial research jobs. So if you are interested in my work, please feel free to contact me after this talk. So today, I'm going to present our work, PhiCloak, investigating sensing from communication signals. As the title indicates, this paper is about how to prevent communication-based sensing. So what is the communication-based sensing? And why is that threat which we want to address? Let's start with a brief introduction to communication-based sensing. Communication-based sensing was developed from radio frequency-based sensing. As we know, RF signals travel through multiple propagation paths provided by reflectors in the environment. Therefore, by analyzing the channel distortion created by the multipath propagation, then we are able to derive the physical information about the reflectors, like its location or its activity. So this type of sensing is called RF-based sensing. Traditionally, RF sensing relies on specially designed signals, like continuous cosine wave, because researchers believe that such signals contain rich physical information. But nowadays, people found that communication signals also convey such information. So by simply analyzing reflected communication signals, sensing is still possible. Here are some examples of communication-based sensing. This work used one antenna to emulate an antenna array. And by analyzing the phase change, the work is able to track human motion. And because objects in the scene will create some ISR variation, this work plays some transmitter and the receiver pairs outside of room, and then it can draw an indoor obstacle map. Similarly, human activities will create different channel state information. Therefore, by analyzing the CSI variation, this work is able to perform activity classification. Researchers also have found that double shapes can be extracted from communication signals. So the left figure are some human gestures, and the right figure are the corresponding Doppler shifts extracted from Wi-Fi signals. From all these examples, we can see there are rich signatures containing communication signals, and the rich fine-grained physical information can be extracted from communication signals. However, that give rise to a big privacy concern, as the development of communication sensing makes sensing easy to implement and hard to detect. For example, a burglar can detect whether you are at home by simply placing a Wi-Fi receiver outside your house, or a passerby can decipher your key presses without leaving a trace. So we believe it's timely and important to address such privacy threat. As a first step to tackle this problem, we focus on protection against the single antenna sensors. So protection against the traditional RF-based sensing is simple. A jammer will work. But here, a jammer is an overkill, as it interrupts both eavesdropper sensing and the data receiving at bulb. What we need is a standalone device, which we call an obfuscator, which can obfuscate all illegitimate single antenna sensors, and in the meanwhile, not degrade any data link between Alice and Bob. It's worth noting that the eavesdropper is passive. It has no intention to share with the obfuscator about this information, like its sensing techniques, nor the data transmission protocols. So the obfuscator should work in a black box manner, in which he has neither knowledge of the sensing technique nor the knowledge of the underlying data transmission protocol. So is that possible to build such a protection system, which meets these two requirements? Let's start with the first one, obfuscate all sensors without knowing their techniques. We found that no matter how different the sensing techniques are, they rely on only 3 degrees of freedom. They are amplitude, phase, and Doppler shift, as shown in the top equation. As a passive reflector, a target can only modify the 3 degrees of freedom. So If our obfuscator can modify the 3 degrees of freedom, we believe it can obfuscate all sensors without knowing the details of the sensing technique. Assume we have such an obfuscator. Then the question is, what's the effect of superposing the natural copy from the target and the modified copy from the obfuscator? Assume we have two paths, one via the target with A1 delta F1 delta T1, and the second is from the obfuscator with modified A2 delta F2 and delta T2. The question is superposing the two copies sufficient to hide the patterns contained in the natural copy? The answer is partially yes. The time domain information, amplitude, and phase can be instantaneously obfuscated. But the frequency information, the Doppler shift, as you can see in the law equation, are still distinguishable after superposition. It looks like superposition does not help obfuscation. So what can we do? We found that actually superposition does help obfuscation. The reason is that if an observer wants to see a Doppler shift with F-hertz granularity, it needs to accumulate samples for over 1 over F second. So here you can see from this figure, if the Doppler shift of the signals changes randomly from every 1 second to every 0.05 second, then the spectrogram has progressively coarser granularity. So if a signal has a Doppler shift pattern, as shown in the left figure, when we superpose it with some signals which randomly change every 0.1 second, then the resulting figure will be the right one, in which the left pattern totally disappears. Given the fact that human activity always results in minus 20 hertz to 20 hertz Doppler shifts, we ask our obfuscator, PhiClock, to change the 3 degrees of freedom randomly every 0.1 second, as we believe 10 hertz granularity is sufficient to obfuscate Doppler shifts created by human activities. Now we know superposition helps obfuscation. The question becomes how we can make superposition happen. To make it happen, the signal from the copy from the obfuscator and the copy from the target needs to arrive at Eve almost at the same time. So the obfuscator should instantaneously forward the received copy. That implies it must be a full duplex forwarder which can transmit and receive at the same time. You might notice that as our obfuscator only modifies the 3 degrees of freedom at physical layer, it does not touch the data signal S of T. So in the eyes of the data receiver Bob, the copy from the obfuscator is just like a multipass component from Alice. So at logical layer, the obfuscator works as a relay. Therefore, it not only does not hurt data throughput, but also helps it. So far, we have proposed a design which is based on a full duplex forwarder which modifies the 3 degrees of freedom randomly every 0.1 second. And it meets the first requirement. It looks like the second requirement, not degrading data links, is also met. But actually, it's not completely achieved yet. The problem is the self-channel estimation. As I said, the obfuscator is a full duplex node, so it must perform self-interference cancellation. And to perform self-interference cancellation, it needs to know the self-channel, which is a channel from its own transmitting antenna to its own receiving antenna. However, to get the estimate of the self-channel, it needs to send some training symbols, which takes L time. Therefore, our obfuscator has to compete with the data transmitter Alice for the channel resource. And to make things worse, our obfuscator works in an environment which changes very rapidly. Empirical result tells us it changes about every 100 milliseconds on average. So what can we do? A naive solution is to ask an obfuscator and Alice to compete for channel access via MAC layer. But that solution has two problems. First of all, it sacrifices non-negligible data throughput. And secondly, it requires a big effort to adapt to different data transmission protocols. Therefore, we propose a novel self-channel estimation scheme, which allows the self-channel training to go parallel with data transmission. How we achieve this? Let's start with training without traditional training without data transmission. So in their training, the Fudio Pass node just send training sequence A0 to AM. Then the received sequence will be A times H, where H is the self-channel coefficient vector. In this equation, you can see as both A and B are known, so H is solvable. But when we train with the external data transmitter Alice, then the received signals will be A times H plus S times H prime, in which S is Alice signals and H prime is the channel from Alice to the Fudio Pass node. Because S and H prime are unknown, so this equation is not solvable. Our idea is to use oversample to get rid of the external interference. By asking the Fudio Pass node working at a higher rate than Alice, then the external interference S would become constant over several time slots. So the equation can be rewritten in this form, in which S times H prime becomes a constant vector C. And then by subtracting each pair of neighboring rows, we got the law equation. In the law equation, everything is known except the H vector. Therefore, if the A matrix meets some rank constraint, then H is solvable. We leverage a special training sequence, which we call a square wave training, as it's a square wave in time domain. There are two reasons to use this training sequence. The first of all, it gives a unique solution to the H vector. And secondly, its frequency representation is sparse bytes. Therefore, it introduces minimal interference to Alice transmission. So by using this special training sequence and oversampling, we allow the training to go parallel with data transmission. So this diagram illustrates our design. After the self-interference cancellation, the signals is forwarded to the obfuscation module, which modifies the 3 degrees of freedom every 0.1 second, and then forwards it back to air. In this way, if sensing is obfuscated and Bob's data reception is preserved. That is our design. Now let's look at our evaluation. We implement three parties on a software-defined radio platform, which is NIPXC1082. The first party is FiClock, our obfuscator, which works at 2.4 gigahertz with 15 megahertz bandwidth. And the second one is data transmitter and receiver, which follows 802.11g standard. And the third one is a YC sensor, which is a gesture recognition sensor. We choose this sensor because it's a Doppler shift-based sensor. And we believe frequency information is harder to obfuscate than amplitude and phase. Therefore, if our FiClock can obfuscate YC, we believe it can obfuscate other amplitude and phase-based sensors. The first thing we care is obfuscator's obfuscation performance. So we place Alice, Eve, and the obfuscator in a way such that the distance between Alice and Eve is equal to the distance between Eve and the obfuscator. And then we change the distance between Alice and the obfuscator. And the human target performs 5 gestures close to Eve. Therefore, a random guess will result in 0.2 classification accuracy. We can see Eve's classification accuracy decreases when the distance between Alice and the obfuscator decreases. That is because at a smaller DAO, more power from the obfuscator is delivered to Eve. So this result tells us if we know the transmitter Alice location, then the closer to Alice, the better the obfuscation performance will be. So what if we don't know Alice location? We conduct another experiment in which the distance between Alice and Eve is equal to the distance between Alice and the obfuscator, and then change the distance between the obfuscator and Eve. Here, Eve's classification decreases as DEO decreases for the similar reason. At smaller DEO, more power from a obfuscator is delivered to Eve. So if we don't know Alice's location, the closer to Eve, the better the investigation performance will be. You may say that Eve is passive and has no intention to share its location, right? But actually, in some cases, it's possible to know its location. For example, if you have a privacy-sensitive device to protect, like a keyboard, then the best location to place Eve is somewhere close to the device. Therefore, the best strategy to place our investigator is somewhere just next to the keyboard. Then let's look at investigator's impact on the throughput. We place Alice, Bob, and investigator randomly in a room. And here, this figure plots the CDF of the throughput with and without investigator. We can see with investigator, the throughput is slightly better than without investigator. That validates our point that because our investigator works as a relay at the logic layer, it not only does not hurt data throughput, but also helps it. So far we have validated that our investigator can preserve, can investigate Eve's sensing and preserve data Bob's data communication. But it's not the end of the story. If you look at our diagram more closely, you will see that the signal after the cancellation block and before the investigation block is clean. It's both interference-free and investigation-free. So if we couple our investigator with a legitimate sensor, Carol, then Carol is able to perform sensing. Now, naturally, we want to see, does our design provide sufficient self-interference to preserve legitimate sensor Carol sensing? To this end, we implement three sensing modes for Carol. One is investigation-free sensing. One is coupled sensing with proposed square wave-based training. And the third one is coupled sensing with traditional pilot-based training. We test Carol's performance in both non-line-of-sight case and line-of-sight case. We can see in both cases, the coupled sensing with square wave-based training achieves similar performance as investigation-free training, investigation-free sensing. But the traditional pilot-based training fails dramatically. That implies that our proposed square wave-based training provides sufficient self-interference cancellation to preserve legitimate sensors sensing, but traditional way does not. In conclusion, we build the first protection system against the communication-based sensing. It can investigate the illegitimate single antenna sensors, not degrade the data links, and preserve legitimate sensors. The implementation on self-defined platform validates its effectiveness. As a first step to tackle this problem, there are still many things to explore in the future. For example, how we can investigate multi-antenna sensors. So what is the coverage provided by investigators? Or is cooperation among multiple investigators possible? I think there are many things needs to explore in the future. Thanks for your listening. I would be happy to take any questions.
Hi, this is Shen Guang from UCLA. So I was wondering, in reality, how do you decide what sensing is legitimate and what are not?
So we when we say couple our investigator with sensors, right, we directly link these two parties. So if the sensor is authorized before deployment, then we know that is a legitimate sensing, then we couple it directly with the sensor.
So I was wondering, so that means for the same set of applications, like even for all the sensing performed by Eve, can the user decide like some subset are legit and some are not? Is that possible? Like they can selectively say, I won't allow some of the apps, but to block some other apps.
So illegitimate sensing is something, so we don't know which is happening in the field, right?
Okay.
So I think that's a way to distinguish illegitimate and legitimate sensing.
All right, okay, got it, thanks.
I have another question for you. So is it correct, is a very high-level view of this work to say that essentially what the obfuscator is doing is preserving the data channel while introducing rapidly changing environment or rapidly changing channel, no matter where, what channel you're looking at.
Yes.
So then I guess the definition of legitimate is whoever installed the obfuscator. Like if the adversary comes and drops an obfuscator in the room, then the adversary has kept legitimate sensing from occurring, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And is it, I mean, what, if I didn't care about legitimate sensing, could I just litter my environment with lots and lots of obfuscators and have the channel get worse and worse while the data still keeps working?
The problem is that I mentioned the cooperation among multiple obfuscators, right? So if you have multiple ones, they might interfere with each other. That's a problem. But that's why we think that's a question needs exploring. Maybe there's some cooperation scheme to ask them to work together.
Great. Thank you. All right. Thanks again.